Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'll be here for 2 hours. Father will be here for the next hour. And we appreciate whatever time you can spend with us. We encourage you to call in, join in the conversation. We'll give out the numbers in a minute here. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. And a reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine is alive and well, open on Tuesdays and Thursdays at St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. The front doors are open. Come on down, spend some time, and explore the church and the wonderful Stations of the Cross, and of course our new Matt Talbot Shrine that's there. We encourage people to come in, as Father said repeatedly here on the show, to make a pilgrimage. Come and venture down, spend some time, and spend some time with Matt and praying with our Lord. So again, that's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 Mass in the morning until roughly 6 p.m. I ask you to also check out the website for the shrine at matttalbotshrine.org. We'll try to keep it updated, especially on days where there may be funerals or other events. The shrine, obviously, the church would still be open during funerals, but because of the location of the shrine and where they have the viewings, it may not be best for you to wander in the middle of that, but certainly I don't think anybody would stop you from making a visit while that was going on.
And Ken, they get the better portion. You get the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
There you go.
With the funeral.
There, amen.
Praying for the dead, one of the corporal works of mercy.
There you go. Yeah. Well, wonders never cease.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, anyway, don't have any other announcements, so why don't we get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And this is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will, that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Marie Goretti.
Pray for us.
St. Elizabeth of Hungary and St. Elizabeth of Portugal.
Pray for us.
St. Michael, Gabriel, and Rayfield.
Pray for us.
Francis and Claire.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, maybe listening over our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls at the bottom of the hour for our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And You know, I think it's great when we witness to one another what's God doing in our lives. It gives us an opportunity to reflect on it and perhaps look for where God may have been interrupting our lives and we didn't quite notice it. Got a number of saints in the calendar for this 14th week in ordinary time. On Monday the 5th, we had a pair, Elizabeth of Portugal and Anthony Zachariah. Tuesday the 6th, yesterday, Maria Goretti. So feast day for all those graduates of St. Maria Goretti High School, Newman Goretti now. On Friday the 9th, we have more St. Augustine, Zhao Rong, and companions. And also one of the patrons we mentioned at the beginning of every show, St. Mark Ji, Dianxing. And we will probably dedicate most of the hour next week to St. Mark Ji. Quite a story about him and especially important to those of us that have struggled with addiction. That being said, no saint today, so we thought we would go back and go in chronological order perhaps and start with St. Elizabeth of Portugal's story. She was the daughter, rather, of Pedro III, who was a future king of Aragon. She was born in the year 1271. And her father, Pedro, was reconciled with his father, James, who was the king at the time of Elizabeth's birth. And it seemed to be a sign of things that were to come during the lifetime of Elizabeth. She was quick to learn self-discipline, and at a very young age, acquired a taste for spirituality. And being prepared in such a way allowed her to get married at the age of 12. I can't imagine my daughters being married at the age of 12, but it was definitely went on in those days. But at the age of 12, she was given in marriage to Dennis, who was the king of Portugal. And with her spirituality, she was able to develop a pattern that included piety, daily mass, but also her exercise of charity. Basically, she would help anybody and everybody that she heard about that needed help. And it would include pilgrims and strangers, the sick, the poor. And also at the same time, apparently, her husband, King Dennis of Portugal, liked to run around a little bit. And despite his infidelity to her, she remained devoted to her husband throughout. And so In her marriage to Dennis, she'd also have to be a peacemaker. She wanted peace between Dennis and God, and it took a while, but eventually he would give up his life of sin. She wanted peace between Dennis and their son, Alfonso. Alfonso had thought that the king cared more for his illegitimate kids than he did for him. And so she would try to bring the peace there. She also tried to bring peace between Ferdinand, the king of Aragon, and his cousin James, who claimed the crown. So we see throughout that her life, both as a young girl and especially later in life, that she was a peacemaker. She tried to make peace between she and her husband and her son, and even those that she wasn't related to but could step in and try to bring about a peace. So on Monday, July the 5th, we celebrated St. Elizabeth of Portugal, a real peacemaker.
Yeah, true. Secular Franciscan, she actually wanted to join the Poor Clares, but they wanted her to stay out because they wanted to have more contact with her, okay? And she sold all of her properties and, you know, just became, really walked in the footsteps of St. Francis, especially with that peace, as you mentioned. You know, Francis is always going to bring brothers and sisters together in the peace of Jesus, and that peace is so important. I think, you know, also our Lord, you know, his first words to the apostles when he came to the room and they're afraid and the doors are locked and they have abandoned him, denied him, betrayed him, they're shamefaced, and he comes into the room despite the locked doors, and the first words to them is, "Peace be with you." And he says it twice, "Peace be with you," and then breathes on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive or forgiven them." But this peace, you know, I was always amazed. I mean, after everything they did to him, you know, he wants them at peace. Everything's okay. You know, I got your back. The mission's accomplished now. But just be at peace. Be at peace. Often thought he could have came and said, "You bunch of bums, what you did to me, you flat levers. I just stopped by to tell you I'm picking 12 new apostles. Peter, you're out." You know, no, just peace, peace. And he wants us all to have peace. And you look at the saints, they're filled with peace. They emanate peace. They show that peace. It's really contagious, the peace. But where do they get this peace? It's a salary. It's a salary of really keeping his commandments, of doing what he says, of listening to him, of living that gospel, the whole gospel and nothing but the gospel. And then when we're doing that, Jesus is going to reveal himself as he promised. And once he does that, he touches our hearts. There's peace. There's peace. And you can cut my head off or do anything you want. You know, I know where I'm at and where I'm going, you know, and that beautiful peace. And I like the word penance, Ken. Like I always say, you know, in the word penance, there's two ends. So you take one end and do some penance. I'll take the other end and do some penance. And then the letters that are left is P-E-A-C-E, peace. And she was the, St. Elizabeth of Hungary was her great aunt. And they really were just like the same, in the same mold, you know, as Franciscans. Elizabeth of Hungary, she was always working for peace and the poor and the needy and living that gospel. And then when her husband died, she became a secular Franciscan. So it just seems like saints, you know, inspire saints. Saints set the world on fire. And Elizabeth certainly, you know, had a lot of inspiration from her great aunt Elizabeth in the Franciscan walk with Francis, who really walked so closely to our Lord. But, you know, peace. That's what it's all about. And just to have that peace, you know, and to share that peace and bring that peace. You know, look at our world today. You know, so divided, so much division, so much hurt and pain. And, you know, instead of adding to the division, just I think of our Lord. I was talking to you last night about the book that I'm reading with Father Faber. And, you know, when you come across difficulties and dissension and all, think of our Lord. And then mortify yourself. Sometimes you want to just jump right in and be part of the division, but mortify yourself and bring something good into that conversation. And then bring the sweetness of Jesus. Bring his peace, peace. I mean, the Lord, he's sharing this peace with us, his peace, after what he just been through. And he won that for us. And it's at hand, the kingdom. And it's God's will for us. And it's in his will, you know, that I find my peace. I find my joy. I find my everything in God's will. And so he really wants us to have that great inner peace so that we can be united with him and be one with him and let him shine through us and bring not only peace but joy and love and all those other beautiful virtues that Jesus Christ won for us. That he wants us in heaven while on earth. And he came to bring us abundant life and our joy may be fulfilled. And it's there. All we need to do is listen to him, do what he tells us, live that gospel, and, you know, and the salary will be that great inner peace of the Lord.
Amen. And I had mentioned to you, I was talking to a mutual friend on the way from the house to the studio today, and we were talking about some of the turmoil that's, you know, going on in our own lives and the peace that's come about recently. And she also reminded me, and you talk so well of peace, and she reminded me that you had won that Peacemaker Award from St. Rita's a few years back. And, you know, how important your role has been there in the neighborhood and in bringing about peace. And, as you said, it's so much needed today. There's so much strife in our communities, in the country, in our church, and the same person I was chatting with on the way over, said, you know, God's separating the sheep from the goats. The division's going on, and we're watching it firsthand, and the lack of peace and the warring factions and everything that we're witnessing today. I'm sure it's been like this at other points in the last 2,000 years, but for those of us that have been on the planet for a few decades, I think it's far worse now than it's been at least any time in my lifetime. And we need peacemakers today more than ever. And God will raise them. He does it in every generation. and to try to play a role in that, to try and be a peacemaker, is it's both a great opportunity and brings reward. And the other thing, when we talk about peacemaker, it was my daughter, when they would give out awards at the end of the school year. And one of the awards over at St. Luke's used to, they may still have it, was the Peacemaker Award. And it was usually the kid that, I guess, maybe was friends with everybody versus some of the cliques that went on. And I was never more proud than I was when Mary Kate got the Peacemaker Award. And, you know, they have math awards and science awards and art awards and this award and that award. But, Peacemaker, I thought was pretty cool. And, and that's what we need today. We need peacemakers, and that doesn't mean that we don't speak the truth, that we don't that we have to hold back anything. It's just when we do it, we do it with honesty, we do it with charity, and the truth will. And Jesus said it, not me. The truth will set you free, And it was interesting because, again, in this conversation I had today, we were talking about, how things are said sometimes. And when they're said with love, and it is the truth, people can't help but to listen for some reason or other. Even if they don't want to, they don't perceive it as being the truth, for some reason or other. And I started thinking about other times where, I've said things to people that they may not have liked, but it was the truth. That I've heard things that I didn't like, but it was the truth. That there's not an argument. Yeah, you can't fight back against the truth. And so we need truth. And I think it's going to be the truth that's going to bring about the peace, and that final everlasting peace for all of us. Of course, will be when we're back home in heaven. Until then, we try to help each other out and bring about as much peace as we can. But knowing that we get to live out an eternity in peace, and the peace of God, to live with the truth, to live with the Word, is going to be something I don't even think we can fathom here and now.
Yeah, what a wonderful gift that the peace is. And how our hearts are so starving for it. And I just think sometimes, years ago when I worked in DuPont, so I would come home from DuPont's work and I'd go and get a hoagie and soda and then watch the Joey Bishop show. And at the end of each show, he would say, "Try a little kindness." And boy, does that go a long way, Ken.
Mm.
You know, when somebody's just hurting, you know, it's easy to hurt back. You know, but when somebody's like frustrated and they're saying like something, you can transform them immediately by just with a little act of kindness. You know, say, "Oh, I hear you. You know, it'll be okay. Trust God." Whatever, little sentiments like that, and bring kindness into a person. You know, even like when I take my walks, little acts of kindness. I can see people's faces. You know, that they're really fearful, whatever what's going on. And just a little smile and a wave. "Hey, how you doing? Good morning." And all of a sudden, you know, it changes them. They're like, "Oh, how you doing?" You know, but it's almost like sometimes we got to take the initiative, because a lot of people are just so afraid to say hello because they think they're going to be rejected. And once in a while, you don't get a hello back, but that's okay. You pray for that person and go on, you know. And just that peace and that act of kindness goes a long, long way for people. Always be kind. Always be kind. The Lord is always kind. And it's a wonderful virtue. So just try a little kindness.
I detect a little Father Faber there.
Yeah, that's the chapter, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting a lot out of this. You know, that's the other thing, Ken. You hear so much about New Age teaching, you know, New Age spirituality. The saints have it right. The classics, it's all there. They're the mentors. They're the greatest exegetes, explainers of the scriptures. I mean, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. God is speaking through them, you know, and we come up with this New Age wisdom and everything, and we put aside all these classics, all these wonderful works, and you look just at that Father Faber's books. You know, it's packed with wisdom. Yeah. You know, and how many people really read Father Faber today, right?
Right.
You know, always going into that New Age stuff. But, you know, the saints, and that's what we're doing here on our show, Saints and Sinners. We're showing the wisdom of the saints, the inspiration of the saints, and just what we were talking about last night, Ken, that was so beautiful. You know, what is it that's holding us back? And I think of those five things, you know, and it's right on, you know, that interior. The interior was, how's our devotion to our Blessed Mother? How beautiful is that? And we need to really improve upon our devotion to the Blessed Mother. She's so integral to our spiritual life. And then the second one was the humanity of Jesus. I go forever with the humanity of Jesus. I see him as my brother. You know, he's there in the sacraments, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, his word, you know, the Gospels. You're seeing him talking as a human being. You know, this humanity of Jesus, that we need to really develop that and get close to that humanity, because his divinity is all tied up with his humanity. And that third one is, you know, knowing who we are, affiliation, like a filial love for the God the Father, for God himself. It's not so much creator like a thing. He's a father. He's our father. That's the way Jesus improves it. And when you really develop these three, you've got a good, beautiful interior life. But then the other two that he speaks about would be the conduct, the external conduct. You know, how's my conduct? You can be very pious and do all those three things, and all of a sudden shun your brother or gossip or talk about somebody and not really be kind to a person when you have the opportunity. You know, it's that, what's my exterior conduct like? You know, and that's so important. And of course, the fifth one we talked about last night was the ruling passion. That negativity that keeps me really, you know, away from God. And that's what I got to make die in me. That's what I have to mortify. But, I mean, you're getting all this stuff from these great classical, and he's not canonized saint, but he certainly speaks like a saint. He's teaching us how to become saints, you know, and all these wonderful saints that we read about, you know. They have it down right. They're right. They know, you know, it's that spiritual wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit themselves. They are so open to it, and they give it to us. And so many of us are bypassing them and going to New Age thinking and New Age teachings and all that, and missing what's good. You know, just because it's old tradition, it's still good. Not, you know, God is old, ever ancient, ever old, and he never changes. And we can develop our spiritual lives from what we get from the lives of the saints. And that's why they should be better saints today, because we grow off the past saints. We learn from them so beautifully. We got more, you know, than they have, because we have more saints today to look at and to be inspired by. But, I don't know who brought that on, but anyway, I guess the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, they mentioning, when you were mentioning kindness, and I thought our conversation last night about, and you had brought up in the spiritual conferences about the chapter on kindness from Father Faber. And
yeah,
so,
growth in holiness.
Yeah, and... you know, like you say, ever ancient, ever new. Why reinvent the wheel when we have these spiritual masters that have unlocked a lot of the keys for us, and you know, and lay it out for us? So why, you know, it doesn't have to be new to be better. Some of some of these things that Father Faber talks about will bring us as close to God as anything else people can think of. So
yeah, hey, I'm ever old, ever new. How you? What's new, Father? I am every day.
Yeah. And it was an "Is that odd or is that God?" Right. It was the with the Matt Talbot shrine opening, and I went back and looked at Mary Purcell's book, and then find out that Matt Talbot was a devotee of Father Faber, and
right.
Happened to pick up one of the books, and here we are, you know, a few weeks later, and we found a spiritual giant, and it kind of explains why Matt Talbot achieved the level of sanctity that he did.
And also the Calix Society, Ken.
Right.
Montreal used that book, Growth in Holiness.
That's right.
Yeah, so really, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to give out the phone numbers, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. We got just a few minutes before we go to the break, Father. I don't know if we want to introduce Maria Goretti and then come back after the break or just save her.
Yeah, let's come back after the break. Yeah.
Okay. Really want to hear from you for this Is That Odd or Is That God segment. I've said it before and I'll say it again, that we as Catholics stink at witnessing to one another. I think it goes back to the days where the majority of people perhaps in our neighborhoods were Catholic and we didn't feel a need to have to share our faith with one another. But in this day and age where it's not as apparent as perhaps it used to be, that we don't see people living out their faith day in and day out, and we don't talk about it day in and day out, that this little segment gives us an opportunity to see how, you know, God is alive and well and working in people's lives and continues to bring about miracles. Father and I are blessed, you know, week in and week out to see folks that are living miracles, people that by all rights should be dead, in jail, institutionalized, and yet they walk around happy, joyous, and free in recovery from addiction. And, those types of miracles, for us anyway, are almost commonplace. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen for all. And we get to hear the tragic stories as well. Young people taken far too soon as a result of their addiction. But we need to talk to one another, witness to one another. I think especially in these times where we need signs that God is still alive and well and wants only the best for us, and that he is going to somehow or other turn this around. I don't know if it'll be in our lifetime or our kids' lifetime, but something's got to happen in order to get us back on the right track. So, got a couple of minutes before the bottom of the hour, but why don't we go ahead and take our break now. Give us a call, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, toll free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign Radio Ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us here at In His Sign to keep us on the air for some 40 years now, both your prayers and your financial contributions that allow us to bring you shows like today's. In the 5 o'clock hour today, I will have a not frequent guest, but one we've had a number of times, Micaiah Bilger, and we'll be talking about all things pro-life in that hour, so you'll want to stick around for that today. As far as is that odd or is that Godfather, it looks like, I guess our phone lines are down. I don't know what's wrong, but no calls. Where's Bob?
Calls last week.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Tom Dillon. I know he's listening, but boy, he gave a good sharing last night on the Stations of the Cross, didn't he, Ken?
Yes, he did.
That one station, you know, how they all started, people didn't know how to read. A picture's worth a thousand words, and he certainly brought that home. The beautiful stations we have, St. Gabriel's there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sometimes calls will come in later on.
And yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
But, I have one myself with this last week has been, the last few weeks have been difficult spiritually. And I've been talking to people nonstop since last Tuesday, I guess. And, you know, a lot of times I'll have, you know, the phone calls that last a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes there. And lately they've been, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, and all around spiritual stuff. And, you know, so many people that God has put in my life over the last 30 years, almost 30 years, but especially in the last 10 to 12. And it's just a sign of what's going on, like I said, in our families, in our communities, in our country, within the church. And people just struggling to discern what it is that God wants them to do, you know, to find out what the truth is, and what have you. And so a little bit of turmoil in my own life. And then on Sunday, Sue and I had an opportunity to get away for a couple of days, and or not Sunday, Monday, I guess. I had on my nightstand, I had emptied my pockets. Probably when we got there, we didn't go very far once we got up there. And on Monday, as we're getting ready to go, and I'm loading my pockets back up, I pick up my rosary case and what's underneath it, but not one, but two dimes. And it just brought a chuckle out right away. It's like, I know, God, with everything that's been going on, you're not helping me. You're right in the middle of it. And it just that reassurance. And, you know, I honestly don't know how people get along without having other people in their lives that they can talk to, that they can voice their struggles with, that they can bounce ideas off of, that they can get, you know, confirmation that they're headed in the right direction, or be corrected and you know, maybe you ought to think about a different direction. And so it links right up with addiction. You know, people that are in the throes of it, you know, they think they're the only one that's going through what they're going through. They usually end up cutting themselves off from everybody, especially people that they love, because their loved ones can't understand why they're doing the things they're doing. And they end up in a spot where they're completely alone. Nobody to, you know, there's certainly people that want to guide them, but they don't want to listen. They don't want to, you know, voice their struggles, voice their fears. And so, they, you know, hopefully they finally get to the point where they realize that people do want to help them, and they're willing to open up and ask for help. And that's where the healing process can begin. But I am so blessed over the years to have God put so many, not good people, so many great people in my life. And, you know, I shared about this last night. If it weren't for my issue with alcohol, you know, none of this would have come about. And I said it last night when I first would hear people say that they were grateful recovering alcoholics, or that they were, you know, grateful that God allowed this to happen to them. I would cringe, and it's like, how can anybody be grateful that something so horrible would be allowed to happen in our life? But today I completely understand it, because it drove me to a place where I really had no choice but to open up to God, because if I didn't, I would have died. And I guess my fear of death was worse than my fear of God. And so it's through that, through getting to know, to getting back to God, meeting a few good people along the way, especially early on, that have opened my world to so many people, and allowed them to help me, and hopefully it's reciprocal, and I get an opportunity to help them once in a while, and that's how it operates, that's how it works. But you have to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to open up. You have to be willing to maybe share your story, so that people know where you're coming from. And it doesn't have to be the story of an alcoholic or a drug addict or a gambler. It's just your story, you know, the trials that you're going through, the struggles that you have, and to know that you're not alone in that other people have gone through the exact same thing, and or in some cases very similar things, and that God saw them through it. And when we witness to one another that God has done that for us, it gives people an opportunity to believe that God wants to do it in their lives too. But they have to be open to it. I love the image of Jesus knocking on the door, and there's no handle on the outside. The only way that door is going to open is if we open it. God's not going to force himself through that door. So we need to be open. We need to be willing to, you know, maybe accept help. And not only from God, because oftentimes the help doesn't come directly from God. It comes from God, but through others. And go right back to St. Francis, right? Make me a channel of that peace. You know, the peace comes from God, but it often comes through others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just listening to you and that dime story, you know, like discernment. And last night it was like Boston Bob, you know, I just want to know what God's will is. And I kind of responded that we all know what his will is in this regard, to keep his commandments, and it's black and white in the Bible what we need to do. But in discerning the future, where he wants us to be, that I remember asking God, what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want? And I just hear him in my heart say, be humble, Douglas, and I will reveal myself. And I see ourselves like on the yellow brick road of grace, Ken, you know, and we just keep following the present grace, and God will reveal the pathway to us. And as you said, he'll do it through other people that we're on the same page and do things. But there's always those crossroads where we do make major decisions. And one of the beautiful signs when you know you made the right decision is this peace in your heart. And so I remember I was the other day down the lakes taking my walk, blessing the birds, and thinking and making my phone call ministry there. And I was talking to Luke and about the decision, you know, the major decision. And the peace and all with it. And I looked down, Ken, and there's a dime. There's a dime. And, you know, the way I found this dime, it looked like a penny. It had to be, like, underfoot for years and years. The date had to be something like 1950 on the dime. So it was trampled upon for years, this dime. And I picked it up. I thought it was a penny. So, oh, it's a dime. But right away, you know, the assurance comes over you. Like, the Lord is giving you the signs and the wonders. We're on the same page, Douglas. You're following my path. Just keep following that present grace, and it's all leading to the eternal kingdom, you know, where we're going to meet the God of all wizards, not the Emerald City or the Wizard of Oz, but the eternal city and the God of all wizards. But, yeah, he gives us signs and wonders all through the way. But like you said, most of them are coming through our reason, through our prayers, through listening to one another, and the Holy Spirit will let us know exactly the path to go, and we just got to have the courage to go through those doors when they open up. So follow the yellow brick road of grace.
Amen. I know we got people listening. I got a message from my good buddy Jimmy and reminds me all the time. Every once in a while, it just shoot me a text and say, "Oh, happy fault." And you know, of course, coming from the Good Friday service, that you know it was through the Adam and Eve's fault that Jesus had to come into the world. And so, Jimmy will often say to me, "Oh, happy fault," that it was, you know, his fall, his fall from grace that, you know, resulted in him being in a spot today that's better than it ever has been. And so we too can say, "Oh, happy fault." It looks like you got Tom started up anyway. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you? Sounds like you're driving down to Wilmington. Can you hear me, Tom?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, you're on.
You can't hear me.
Yeah, you got some background noise. You're going in and out, brother.
Earth to Tom. Come in, Tom.
Ken?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Now we can, but there's a lot of background noise. I don't know if you got the air conditioner blowing on the phone. It sounds like you're in a wind tunnel. Call us back, pal.
Hi, Ken. I can hear you fine all the time.
All right, well, you're going in and out on us when we get a lot of background noise. Like the air conditioner in the car is blowing right on the speaker on your phone.
Okay, you can hear me.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, turn the air conditioner off. Just for you, Ken, I turn the air conditioner off. That was quite a meeting last night at Calix. The subject was prayer and how do we pray. And as alcoholics, you know, we're trying... You know, it took me, prayer was the last thing on my mind, you know, as I was sobering up. My mind was going so fast and racing. And my wife tells me what my mind still races, but that's besides the point. But the bottom line is that, you know, once things settled down after a few months and I had the opportunity to sit down and listen and to take direction and to start to try to get into prayer, you know, we know it's stages, and trying to get into that contemplative prayer is putting ourselves, as Father always says, put ourselves in the situation where we are, if we're doing the rosary or doing the Stations of the Cross. And it hit me, and to me it's a God experience, the fact that now that we have the shrine open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we have such a gift, we have such an incredible gift at St. Gabriel's, the Stations of the Cross, each one of them being 4 to 5 feet high, three-dimensional, with all of the characters. And just to go around to those stations and to look at those characters and understand what's happening in each station, that's, I mean, so many times people say, "I just can't pray, I don't know how to pray." It's a picture is worth a thousand words, and I was trying to share last night to the guy, you know, just walk over to the church and sit down for 2 or 3 minutes in front of one of those stations, and I was kidding them. I said, some of those characters are something, like there's this one guy with a club. He shows up in 2 or 3 of the stations, you know, he's ready to let Jesus have it, and it's very interesting what he's doing in the Stations of the Cross number 10. And for all those that are listening, maybe they want to walk across the street and go to the Station of the Cross number 10 and watch the guy with the club and see what he's doing. And that's what it's all about. It's putting ourselves in that place and not just saying, saying prayers constantly. So,
Amen.
So anyway, I tried to share that last night, and if, you know, just being able to spend an hour over there at the church on a regular basis, really helped me, and especially with the fact that St. Gabriel is such a beautiful church, is what we call it. What do we call it, Ken?
A Cathedral of South Philadelphia.
Cathedral of South Philadelphia. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, pal. Good to hear from you. Safe trip down to Wilmington. Let everybody know we said hi.
On. Can I put my air conditioner on? Now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Ken, when I was listening to Tom last night, I wanted to run back over church to the stations. You know, he made them so alive. But one of the things, we've been doing these stations since we were a kid. You know, it was every first Friday, you know, we would do the stations. And constantly during Lent, you know, every Friday during Lent. You know, you had the candles, the cross going around, the books, the words. But, you know, I just simply walk around them now looking at them. Thumb my rosaries, Hail Marys in the background, and just get caught up in the mystery of it. But when Tom was talking about that guy with the club, you know, it's like you want to jump in there and pull that club off the guy. But I was kind of thinking of a story and about a guy. He had a dream, and he sees everything. You know, he's at the Passion, and he sees what they're doing to Jesus and how they ridicule him and beat him up and spit on him and drag him through this Appian Way to Calvary, and he wants to do something. He can't, but finally he's at the scene where they're nailing, and all of a sudden he's inside now. He's inside the scene, so he runs over and he grabs the soldier by the hand. He swings him around. He's ready to punch him. What are you doing to my Christ? And as he looks at the soldier, he sees his own face, and he realizes that it was for him that Christ was crucified. I did this for you. You know, like we want to beat everybody up in those scenes, but, you know, my sins nailed him to the cross. And you know, no nails could fasten him to the cross, but only his love for me and for each and every one of us. What love. But, yeah, again, the stations are so powerful. They tell the story of how much he really loves us, the story of his great mercy, and that, you know, our sins are merely a drop in the ocean of his mercy for us, because that's our God doing this for us, how much we are loved.
Amen. Well, I want to thank Tom for the call. We certainly appreciate it. And we can move on. I don't know if you had an odd or God, Father, if we can move on.
Yeah, just that one diamond,
yeah.
You know.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. We had talked about St. Elizabeth of Portugal in the first segment. And yesterday we celebrated the saint near and dear to the hearts of many in Philadelphia, especially those that graduated from St. Maria Goretti High School or Newman Goretti after the merger. We celebrated the Feast of St. Maria Goretti. She had one of the largest crowds ever assembled for a canonization. 250,000 people were there. And that's how many have been touched by her. Maria made her first communion not long before her death. She had been held back for a while and had asked once what she wanted for her. Father, you told the story, right? She wanted more frequent communion. Mm-hmm. And on a hot afternoon in July, she was sitting at the top of the steps, and not quite 12, and Alessandro shows up. And he seizes her, pulls her into a bedroom, and would stab her 14 times. And that was despite her cries for help, saying, no, God does not wish it. It's a sin. You'll go to hell for it and what have you. But Alessandro began to strike her with a long dagger. And so Maria was taken to a hospital in her final hours. She had compassion. She forgave her murderer, even though she was afraid of him, or she was still afraid of him and didn't want to cause any trouble. And she did get viaticum, her final communion, and would die about 24 hours after the attack. And the reason we want to talk about it, Father, I'll give it to you now, but Alessandro spent was sentenced to 30 years in prison. He got out after 27, but went through a great conversion. And, Father, I'll leave it to you to tell the story from there.
Okay. Well, yeah, she died on the Feast of the Precious Blood there, you know, at 3 o'clock. She bled out. And it's just amazing, like, when the priest came to hear her confession and all. Do you forgive him? Yes, I forgive him, and I want him in heaven with me. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, the story of grace. And Alexandro, I think I was calling him Alexander last night, but Alexandro, he pleaded insanity, but he was found sane. And he was 19. Because he was a minor, he got the maximum of 30 years. If he was older, he would have been executed. But after 3 years, you know, and this is a guy, Ken, that was sort of like really a family member. He had access in and out, and he made other approaches on her, and she poured them all, throwing water at him. But finally, that last one, and taking that, sort of like an ice pick, 14 times, it gagged her and just kept stabbing her. You know, he was just, that had to be some kind of insanity there. And, you know, stabbing an 11-year-old girl at 14 times. But anyway, he's very miserable. 3 years in prison, he won't see a priest, anything like that. He's nasty. But then there's a dream, and she comes to him in the dream. And she holds out to him 14 lilies. And this leads to his conversion. He asks for a priest. He goes to confession, goes on good behavior. And he's released in 27 years on good behavior. But here's the story. He goes, it's Christmas Eve, and he goes up to the, in 1937, he goes up to the door of the rectory, and Assunta, the mother, she's working at the rectory, and she opens the door, Assunta, and he sees her. And Alexandra says to Assunta, do you know who I am? And she said, yes, I know who you are. Well, do you forgive me? And Assunta said, well, Maria forgave you. Jesus forgave you. How can I not forgive you? And side by side, they go to Holy Communion on Christmas Eve Mass, and she practically adopts him as her son. You know, it's just so an amazing story of grace. And then he becomes like a third order Capuchin, a doorkeeper, you know, very humble man. And actually, his cause, I believe, is open for canonization. And, you know, it's just this transformation, conversion. And for he lives till he's 88 years old, and he falls down a flight of stairs and breaks his neck and dies. And on his person is a letter. And the letter is a warning to everyone. First of all, he's asking the world to forgive him because of what he did to little Maria, but also for a warning against pornography, indecent shows, and the likes. That was his addiction. I'm sure he drank alcohol and all that and lowered his inhibitions, but the real addiction was the pornography and all this, and that made him crazy and lustful, and that made him somewhat, you know, insane. So this is a wonderful story of grace. First of all, you know how we work with the people, and, you know, people are out there, when you hear the stories, they wouldn't have done none of the stuff, probably, 99% of the stuff that they did, if it wasn't for the influence of the drugs and the alcohol. And they have a hard time forgiving themselves. They beat themselves up. But here it is, how, you know, a man who can commit a murder of a little innocent girl to become a very holy man, you know, this is God's mercy and love, you know, how he can take away all of our guilt and all of our shame and everything. We can't underestimate what God does for each and every one of us. If we look at that cross, we really see this mercy and that my sins, you know, are a drop in this mercy. This is our God hanging there. And he takes not only the sin, but the guilt and the shame and everything else with it. And for me to live in my guilt and shame and beat myself up day in and day out, I insult my Christ. I say, you weren't enough, and he was enough. And to me, that's the greatest sin of all, not letting Jesus complete his mission, sent by the Father to bring his children home. He's the scapegoat. He pays the price. He takes care of the debt. He makes the reservation. This is what mercy is all about. It's like we didn't sin. He did. You know, and we see this in this life of Sarnell. How come when someone becomes so holy, joyful, and happy after what he did? By the grace of God. And that grace is offered to each and every one of us. And I'm sure there's probably people listening out there, Ken, that maybe can't forgive themselves or hurting, you know, or, you know, the past sins are haunting them. Think of this story of Alexandro and how he came to be a holy man by just going to the priest, who really going to Jesus, and feeling that felt forgiveness, that felt mercy, that new beginning, that second chance, that new eternal life through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our brother. Well, beautiful story for addicts, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, it may be the only case where the murderer of somebody that did become a saint was at their canonization. And for Alessandro to be there with I believe, with Maria Goretti's mother and what have you, and to be able to witness that. And you can only imagine what was going through his mind during that process, during that the mass and the canonization that went on.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Pope, if he was there, I heard two different things, but he very well could have been there. But even the Pope was a little strong about the murderer, you know.
Yeah.
And they listened to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just so beautiful, you know. It's, you know, what God does for each and every one of us. It's just outrageous. It's extravagant love. But if I can say, too, the other part of the story is, here's a girl, 11 years old, chastity, you know. Look at the young girls today and what's going on, you know, with drugs and all that, selling their bodies and all that. She's the perfect example of being chaste. This girl gave her life, you know, and all the young girls today just need to deny themselves of, you know, pornography or bad talking, gossiping, impure shows, whatever, you know, and to move far away from the near occasions of sin and to have a chaste heart and to be united with our God and find that real joy and peace that we're really hungry for, you know, love, not lust, but love. But Maria Goretti, such a powerful example for what's going on today with all the pornography and all the you can get on on these videos and on cell phones and pull up pornography just at a, you know, in an instant.
Yeah. Well, you don't even have to look for it on the internet. You get it on the Alphabet channels on the TV at night now. It's very
wow.
You know.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have a television.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff you see on TV today, I don't know if it would be quite X-rated, but it would definitely be R-rated back when I was a kid. And it just no holds barred, and it's in your face.
Yeah, you know, but, I remember we were kids on the corner, and it must have been like a Playboy book or a picture that was in the gutter. And it was shocking, you know,
yeah.
Picture. Now, look, we're inundated today.
Yep, absolutely. The evil one's alive and well. And something's happening. Something's got to happen. It can't continue like this for much longer.
Yeah,
that's for certain.
Apparition, Our Lady of Grace Ferry, or Venerable Matt Talbot.
There you go.
Maria Goretti can come, since we have the high school here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little appearance. He appeared to Alexandro. Yeah, we need some intervention from the kingdom, from God himself. There's no human solution here, but there's always a divine one.
Amen. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Yeah. We got just about a minute left, Father.
Yeah. Mm. Well.
Another hour has flown by.
Yeah,
I
want to
thank. Yeah.
No, but I hear the phone ringing.
Yeah, it's probably my guess for the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think we said about enough.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a good show today, and just talking about peace and God's love and mercy and our little Maria Goretti and conversion stories of Alexandro Serinelli. And we're all, like you were saying, share their story. You know, we connect with stories, and we connect with this story with Alexandro, because we're all sinners. And God's there with his mercy and love for each and every one of us to give us second chances and new beginnings again and again and again.
Amen. You get your blessing, Father.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh God, Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, our brother, tells us the good news, and your Holy Spirit. Just ask that everyone listening and all of us, our whole world, our church, our nations, all people, that we may come to know the peace of you, Jesus, and live in that peace, and chase the devil out of our lives, and follow you more closely all the way home to where we all belong. And bless us all. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Father, thanks so much. For our listeners, stick around. We'll have Micaiah Bilger on in the next hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.